Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Egg Chasers. And this is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are here, all three of us, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and full of energy.
Exactly.
I'm Tim. Isn't that right, JB?
That is right, Tim. Hello.
Is that right, Phil?
Oh, absolutely, Tim.
So I'm looking at two shells of human beings right now in front of me because, well, by way of research and rugby reconnaissance, Phil and JB have sacrificed their weekend.
Oh, my God.
To go to Belfast and Dublin and then back to Belfast.
Yeah.
And purely to find out on a rugby seek and find mission. And much as you prefer to have been sat on your sofa back in Manchester.
Exactly, mate. We had to do this so you don't have to.
Exactly.
So obviously round four of the European Cup and Challenge Cup happened this weekend. We'll break down all of that. There's some breaking transfer rumours that, well, we're going to be breaking some transfer rumours. Everyone else can listen and follow. There's some other news, there's some talking points from the game. And will this be our last one before Christmas? How are we doing? We'll get another one in between now and Christmas.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Unlike our competitors who'll be having Christmas off.
Putting
their feet up.
Tell you what, I'm not for this at all. Do you know what I need? Some inspiration?
You do need some inspiration. What have you got there for inspiration, JB?
Well, I'm glad you asked. this is a guy who I used to think was one of the best rugby pundits around.
Yeah.
Giving I think it's an inspirational talk. I'm not sure. I don't know if he's the victim of mind-altering drugs or... I mean, something's gone on here rather this serious. Would you like to be inspired by Will Greenwood?
I think I need some inspiration. So
here
yes,
we go.
Please.
Let's just give this a whirl. Here we go, boys.
In life, right? Find the people who are doing things well and strive to be like them. Strive to hit their standards. I watched England rugby train on Monday and walked away wanting to be a better person. Find that person who makes you want to be better. Find out what they're doing. Copy them. Emulate them. Plagiarise them. Whatever it takes. Find an inspiration and hunt them down.
Well, I mean, this is his second take. The first one, they told him just to dial it down a bit. So, I actually copied Phil this weekend, and it was a disaster.
You copied me?
Yeah.
Well, I was copying you.
I plagiarised you drink for drink.
Yeah. And I thought you were plagiarising George Best's finest work, to be honest.
Yeah. What happened to Will Greenwood?
Well, I mean, if you were going to tell... He's clearly...
He's like he's an... It's like he's... I actually love how deep the start is. In life, right? In life.
Right.
Find the people who are doing things well and strive to be like.
Right, so... Chris Froome, he seems to be doing all right. I'm going to... What's his secret? Oh. Yeah.
By the way, try following someone around to, you know... Steve Diamond, terrible idea. Do not do that.
It's interesting. Has he just done a CrossFit?
Oh, sorry. Has
he just done a CrossFit workout or something.
I think
here,
because
he's high on endorphins right there.
He looks like a broken man. Yeah. He's either done a CrossFit workout or he's just done 2 days of hard drinking in Ireland.
Or that looks like a particularly good hot yoga session where he's just channeled some spirituality that he didn't realise he had. He's tapped it. I've always liked him.
This is just... It's just too much. Yeah.
I'm a long-time fan of Will, but I think this is an odd video.
Well, while we're talking motivation and stuff, maybe I can go from a speech to some music.
Yes,
so
please.
On the way back from Saracens v Clermont, not the game that happened this weekend in France, but the rearranged game that happened on Monday night in northwest London. This is Nigel Owens with his other Welsh referees in the car.
I don't know what the song is.
He just changed the lyrics up there for some months to mention. Yeah, if you want to go and have a look at Nigel Owens' Twitter account, because you will see the most awkward Ben Whitehouse. Nigel keeps panning the camera around to Ben Whitehouse, who's just looking like he wants to be anywhere else but there.
You can't get out of the car. We can, but it's on the M1 or something.
Do you feel sufficiently perked up, like a shot of caffeine, boys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel so much better.
How was Belfast?
Belfast was brilliant fun.
Tell you what, great people, great crack, whatever that is. horrendous taxi situation. All right, so from what I can tell, there are two taxi companies in all of Belfast. One is called Scammer Cab, and it seems like their modus operandi is not to pick anyone up at any time, unless you phone, in which case it's either a 1 hour wait or a 30-minute wait, depending on which, you know, you phone one and you phone back immediately and you get two different times.
Yeah.
Yeah. The situation of the taxis alone can ruin Belfast. Everything else, great. Taxis, it's an utter corrupt joke that there's only two taxi companies in all of Belfast and the market doesn't work to provide new cab companies.
They don't run on religious grounds, do they?
No. Yeah, I mean, for a place which has had so much trouble, these are some of the least religious men that you'll ever come across. So, yeah, but Belfast is amazing. And I tell you what, Ravenhill is one of my favourite stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel how much that they are into their rugby there.
It's the terraces all the way around makes such a difference.
Yeah. Oh, it's quality.
Yeah. It was brilliant, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best game, although lots of points being scored, but it was a brilliant outing for us.
Yeah, it was.
So we had Friday afternoon. We landed on Friday, had a nice steak dinner.
It was
steak
a lovely
lunch,
steak dinner.
Couple of pints in, and then went to the ground,
mm.
watched what was, yeah... It certainly wasn't Harlequin's best team.
It wasn't
was
their
it?
Best team. It's an interesting performance, though, in a lot of ways. I think a few guys... the one thing which stood out for me... I'm going to go with the bad first rather than anything else. I have a funny feeling Kyle Sinclair isn't doing his best work for Harlequins. To the point that, you know, if I was his director of rugby, or if I was involved with him in any way, I'd look at dropping him. Because his attitude all game was absolutely terrible. You know, his body language, the way he walks away from the players, he doesn't celebrate with the players. It strikes me as there's something wrong there. And he's also very, very chopsy. And then he gave away a yellow card. And it's a sort of yellow card. You could see this yellow card coming from about 10 minutes out.
In much the same way as you could see the Will Skelton yellow card.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I actually said, five minutes before that yellow card for Will Skelton, if I was Mark McCall, I would get him off the pitch right now because this is coming. And you could see that with Sinclair.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think Charlie Walker will be considered for England at some point.
Well, I think now might be a good moment to mention a bit of transfer news by. As I understand it from my source, which I trust,
mm-hmm.
Alex Lewington to Saracens is a done deal.
Oh, wow. That is good.
That is a good signing.
That was a cracking signing. When that?
And the reason I mentioned that is because you talked about Charlie Walker in terms of England terms. I think this will get Alex Lewington an England squad spot.
Definitely, it makes him more fashionable.
It's not about fashionable, but he'll be playing at a higher level. He'll be playing in the Heineken Cup games Champions Cup games and the like. But so I understand that, yeah, as has been rumoured before, Nathan Earls to Quins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris Wiles.
Oh, Nathan Earls to Quins, really? Mm. That's a shocking one to lose. How on Nathan Earl the
winger?
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of Ben Earl.
Ben Earl, the back row. Yeah. Nathan Earl to Quins is rumoured.
Yeah.
Chris Wiles, his contract's up.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where his future lies.
He's about 33 or so.
Yeah. But he plays for them a lot.
Yeah, but Alex Lewington and Liam Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know, that is important. And without doubt, those two are better. But I just wonder for Saracens if Chris Wiles is better for Saracens. He's so Saracen-y, if that's a thing.
He is, yeah. He's also, for a long time, he's been the best backup in the league.
Yeah.
Because he comes in, someone gets injured, and he can slot in.
13, 15, yeah. Right wing, left wing.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I think he's even played a little bit of 12 a couple of years ago.
I seem to remember that as well.
So he's very useful, but yeah, he's 34 now. He'll be 35 at the start of next season. So I can understand him.
Lewington would be an amazing addition.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Obviously, players don't talk to clubs until January the 1st, though. So,
obviously.
So obviously.
This is rumour and speculation at this point. But I thought I'd just share it with you, a bit of information that I happen to have come by.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, I only mentioned that in the context of you saying Charlie Walker. He's rapid, that guy. Absolutely
he's so
rapid.
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he actually played like a guy who was a first teamer. With a load of blokes that weren't necessarily first teamers. Jamie Roberts was very, very good. Probably one of the better games that I've seen him play.
Yeah, Jamie Roberts did have a solid game. But this wasn't really about the Quins game. It was all about Ulster.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And that back three, that Ulster back three, Piatow, Gilroy, Stockdale, is brilliant.
You don't understand how powerful Piatow is.
Piatow, yeah.
I mean, like, his explosivity into contact is truly terrifying.
Yeah.
The reason I can't think of as many stand-up players for Ulster as I can for Harlequins, I think actually they were just more dynamic as a team.
Ulster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
The reason you don't know anything is because you left at half time to go for more beers. Whilst I watched the whole game.
I did not leave at half time.
There's been loads of articles recently about the drinking culture at the Principality Stadium.
Phenomenal.
And the number of people getting up and going for beers and not really watching the rugby at Twickenham. That was you. You were just one of those statistics.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. And we don't make any apologies for it. There is a core of rugby journalists at the moment who are starting to really grate on me. And they are so pious, and they are looking for a story in anything. This week it's about Pacific Islanders playing rugby. Last week it was about drinking. They are looking to cause trouble.
Yeah, you pay your ticket. Do what the hell you want.
Yeah, go for a beer.
Do what you want.
That's the whole point.
That is the point, to have a few pints of Murphy's while you're watching your beloved Ulster.
Mm.
Let the boys play.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it was a good game. Good performance by Ulster in some pretty poor conditions. This group has just got really interesting, though. Mm. Not because of this game, because Ulster should have got 5-point win and did get 5-point win, but because Wasps beat La Rochelle.
Yes. It has opened up Pool 1 quite a lot, hasn't it?
Massively. That's actually the worst possible result for Ulster.
Yeah.
Because even though Ulster now can theoretically top the group, Wasps can also qualify, and La Rochelle... Every game matters to those two.
Yeah,
we play.
It's that Wasps and Ulster battle at the Rico, which could be a battle for second.
Or first.
It could possibly be back of battle first. It's unlikely, I think.
But La Rochelle got to come to the Kingspan.
Yes.
It's on, because La Rochelle are a very, very good team, but they didn't travel particularly well to Coventry.
They rested a few players. It's an interesting team selection. I'm not quite sure why they did it, but it wasn't their strongest team, which seems like a bit of a mistake, but I have no doubt that they will be putting out their absolute strongest team against Ulster.
Yeah, I think you're right there, mate.
No question. We've got a little bit of a time before we get onto that, so we can build up to that at a later date, but Pool 1, is finally balanced. We may as well move to Pool 3, because the next leg of your Irish rugby tour was Dublin.
Ah,
it was.
And on the way down, we got to sit next to Gareth Steenson's mum, uncle and brother.
We did. Made some polite chat.
Yeah.
JB mentioned his interview of
over and over again
of Steno. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, Dublin was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was. So we were only in Dublin for kind of 4 or 5 hours. Couple of pints. Met a long-time listener, Joe Heron.
Yep.
Good man.
Who gave us a set of whiskey? Which,
yeah, he gave you three. He gave three, you three sets. Have you got my one for
well,
me now?
The thing is, Tim.
Well,
I don't think we could have done that because it was a tasting set. So if we'd given it to you, you wouldn't have had the full experience of the other two.
Yeah.
So basically, by doing that, it would have ruined our experience.
Oh, that was kind of you to spare me from the disappointment of only tasting one.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. You
need it there and then to compare and contrast.
I appreciate
so sadly, that wasn't for you, mate.
One of those whiskies was delicious as well, yeah. I mean, they're all very good, but one of them in particular was excellent.
Oh, good man, Joe. Well, he was very complimentary. Said you were absolute gents and... yeah, nice. It's just a couple of rugby mad towns on match days, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are. It's not far off from an international feel.
Yeah. Well, obviously, with it being in the Aviva as well.
Yeah.
Which was good fun. So we got to the game. Yes. This was interesting. This was... So I thought Exeter were going to do it for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Particularly when... So, obviously, very early... Sexton goes off.
Yeah.
Which actually isn't a big deal. I mean, that sounds silly. And no team is better without Johnny Sexton than with him in it. But it's just not a game that you needed him to influence.
Well, the kicking was still very important.
But again, it was coming off 9 again.
It was losing the second 9.
It was, yeah. So that, yeah, it came off 9 because it had to come off 9 because Ross Byrne comes in and then he gets injured as well. So they end up kind of Nasey would. Basically just doing everything himself, which he did very, very well, very ably.
If they knew how that game was going to pan out, they probably would have taken off Sexton and thrown on a back row to replace him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think is the most impressive part about this? Is they've now won 2 weeks consecutively in very different ways.
Yeah.
They might have been... That might put Leinster now as favourites, not just to win... the group, because they are favourites, but actually to win the whole thing.
Leinster and Claremont, the only two teams not to have lost yet.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But there's a couple of... I'm interested how the atmosphere was and what people were saying in the stadium on around about 60 minutes when McGrath collected a pass that definitely looked forward.
Do you know what? I didn't see that.
So we didn't get those replays?
No.
No, the reason you didn't get the replays... So it was Levy. Made little offloads, and his hands, in my opinion, definitely looked like they were going forward. McGrath collects it and scores. The French TMO didn't even check it.
Yeah.
Like, I could not believe that there was like, "What? You're not checking it?" I was also looking at Nasewa, thinking, "Oh, is it? Surely he's going to go and try and take that quick conversion."
Drop kick. Yeah.
Which, by the way. That's a law that has to change.
No, I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that law.
I'm trying to watch him drop a goal right from the corner.
Yeah.
And also, it's sort of an indicator as well. Like, if you see someone trying to do a drop goal, you stop everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something's gone on here.
Yeah. I quite like that, the ref realising just as they're about to take the drop goal, hang on a minute.
What are you doing?
As soon as he kicks the drop goal, it just seems an odd one. Like,
do you know where that's from? I'm pretty sure it's an NFL thing. So the whole thing in the NFL, if you ever watch, if they run a play and there's something to be reviewed on there, they can't review it once they play.
So they play. They'll take a knee, they'll do a quick snap.
Yeah,
knee.
So they'll race the line and just play. Otherwise, they will review it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. But anyway, so the French TMO didn't even check it, and it definitely looks forward to me. But no, well, clearly it wasn't something that people were saying in the stands.
No.
We weren't aware of it. So
it just looked like a try to me. But
yeah, and there wasn't really many replays, or certainly no replays that showed that angle from where we were.
The only
host broadcaster, wasn't it? Show that shot.
Yeah.
Well, the only one I do remember clearly watching was the
yellow card for Kean Healy.
Yeah. Which I thought could have been red.
Yeah, let's mention that one because, yeah, Kean Healy was getting a bit fed up with all this messing around at the ruck, so takes a forearm to the face of Luke Cowan-Dickie.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's exactly what happened. I mean, it wasn't that forceful. But if they've recognised he's put a forearm into someone's head and he's got a yellow card for it, that to me is a red card.
Yeah.
It's the wrong sanction. It could have been
a red card.
It could have been.
So the referee said no force, no speed. And that was his justification for not giving a red card and for giving a yellow only. But this is one little area where I can't remember who it was, but I think I remember Nathan Hughes connecting with someone. And it was a really small guy who got flattened.
Oh.
And he got a red.
Yeah, I know exactly who you mean.
I'm pretty sure we argued about it on the pod.
Yeah, we definitely discussed it at length.
So it was sort of Nathan Hughes, and I think it was someone who slipped and shoulder connected with head. Anyway, so my point being, I seem to remember, and someone please remind me at Rugby Podcast who it was, but I seem to remember, and the point generally is, had Kian Healy connected with James Short or
Nick White,
good example. So say Kian Healy smashed into Nick White, probably would have sent him flying. As it happened, he hit Luke Cowan-Dickie, who's a tough rooster, and stayed stood up. And I don't like the idea that the sanction will be different depending on the person that you connect with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because you're incentivizing someone rolling around then.
Yeah.
Yes. You're also incentivizing hitting small people. No,
no, not hitting
big people.
Hitting big people.
Maybe there should
do what the hell you want to Thomas Francis.
Yeah. But maybe there should be an incentive to hit the bigger guys. I'm just saying. Thomas Francis had the best game I've ever seen him play.
He's had a few good games.
He was genuinely really good.
He was.
And especially in that sort of game where you need your big men to defend and work hard. That's exactly what he did.
Oh, the final thing I wanted to say about the Kian Healy thing, because again, what were people saying in the stands? What was the general vibe? Like, oh, fair enough.
I think everyone kind of... I got the vibe that yellow was about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were quite relieved, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine they were. The only other thing I didn't like, there was the fact he hit a big fella and therefore, etc., as I mentioned, but there was like an apologetic tone from the ref, which I didn't like as well. He was like, Kian, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to give you a card.
I guess that is from the sort of natural sense of injustice. These rules do create these scenarios where technically this is a card and I have to do this because this is what the sanctions say and I'm also being assessed. Mm. That's where it gets it. That's why I think they should bring back the high tackle and all that.
I'm glad it wasn't a red. I don't want incidents like that to be a red card, but when you look at other incidents, you could understand if Exeter were a bit disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do.
Yeah.
And consistency is one of the most important things. Whether you're right or wrong with the laws, you want to look at two similar incidents and see them...
Know the outcome.
Yeah, and see them being dealt with in the same manner.
Mm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But it was... It was a very good start by Exeter, but the way that Leinster came back and bossed it and controlled the game and suffocated Exeter from getting any ball.
You could see Exeter just running out of ideas.
Yeah, they couldn't keep the ball, particularly in that second half. It was just Leinster again.
There was just key times as well, very in Exeter, that they would make a mistake. One was a line out in, I think, the Leinster 20, which went awry, and there's another one as a knock on from I think Jack Noll actually, but yeah, you can just feel it slipping away, and these critical times.
Leinster and Munster sort of have this boa constrictor quality about them, don't they? They take those 3 points, creep up, and then they're out of sight before you know it.
Munster were very impressive the way that they won, and even the way that they finally took the bonus point off Leicester at the end.
I didn't see any of that game. I was sleeping.
I wish I'd been sleeping.
So Exeter, they're not going to progress. And pool three...
Is that definite? I mean, does that look like it's...
Pretty much. No.
But... Three runners up can go through.
So there's going to be no catching Leinster. They'll finish top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it will be... I think it's going to be hard for Montpellier to be a best runner-up. Or that's their best hope, I think.
Yeah, so Montpellier have got to travel to Exeter.
Yeah.
So Exeter could bonus point win them at Exeter. I mean, that could happen.
Conceivably. Could
yeah, yeah.
And then maybe Glasgow don't field a full-strength team.
Which you think...
Stanley Park.
Yeah.
Which I expect Exeter to be able to handle Glasgow as well.
Yeah, yeah. So Exeter
it's
could...
It's possible, yeah.
Again, that game, Montpellier at Exeter, is it's going to be a big one. But it could end up just being Leinster coming out of this pool. I could see teams taking points off each other still.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Montpellier could quite easily beat Leinster on their day, because they are, well, they're just a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a brief moment before we go on to any of the other rugby, because it's the, what's the date today as we're recording this?
17th.
One week tomorrow as we record this, or one week today as you probably will be listening to this if you get the podcast on a Monday when it's always out first thing.
Yeah.
It will be Christmas Day. So yeah, take care of someone that you care about, or if not, take care of yourself for the measly sum of £4 with Cornerstone. Cornerstone, the mail order razor company, the best that you can get, in our opinion. That sounds like the strap line for another razor company, but we believe it's the infinitely better. And what is more, you could get, because you listen to us, a free metal shaft engraved with your initials, or for someone special for Christmas, their initials, and 6 razors in a presentation box. Perfect little present, and it'll only cost you £4. Santa Claus, if you want a little stocking filler for people, this would be an ideal choice. And as I say, because you listen to us, you get a cracking deal. Just £4 to give it a go. No obligation, but we think you want to carry on. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg 10 at checkout.
Do the right thing for Christmas.
That's right.
So we just mentioned the Munster-Leicester game. So shall we jump across to Pool 4?
Yes.
So Munster handily beat Leicester at Welford Road for the first time in 11 years, as you reminded Peter O'Mahony when you gave him his man of the match performance.
Is it O'Mahony? I still don't know. I wanted to ask him afterwards. Is it? Can I say O'Mahony or is it O'Mahony? Do I have to to pronounce the O?
O'Mahony.
So you asked him a question and he answered a completely different one. So your first question was, how did you boys do that? Or something along those lines.
It was 11 years since the Munster side's won here.
Yeah.
Really tight pull, so that's a massive win. What did you put it down to?
So first thing he does, 1,000-yard stare. Like, he
looked through me, yeah.
Yeah, completely.
But
and then he answered,
when you've seen some of the things he's seen out in battle, I understand that.
And then he just starts answering, not about that question.
Yeah. Very, well, and he gave basically the same answer to every question that you asked him, regardless of what you were asking him.
Yeah, he did.
To be fair, his mind was probably elsewhere.
It was.
He didn't look happy with that win. I mean, he might have been really happy. He wasn't happy with the win, and he wasn't happy with man of the match. A vase? What do I do with a vase?
Probably absolutely battered. And secondly, I think that you're probably right. You know, he'll probably go away, and everyone else would have been whooping and hollering in the changing room. And he'll just be going, yeah, well, okay, fine, well, on we go.
Yeah,
but that's who you want as a captain.
I'm delighted that he's resigned.
Yeah,
Stanley can go. If that's what Stanley wants to do, Stanley can go. I think it's amazing.
Well, they're getting in Tadhg Byrne from Scarlets, who's had
Byrne
a great season.
Or Byrne?
Byrne. I'm pretty sure it's Byrne. Yeah. They're getting Tadhg Byrne from Scarlets, who had a great year at number 8. So they'll have a kind of like for like with CJ Stander if he does go. But as we discussed last week, I mean,
he's not going.
I was thinking about this. No, CJ Stander, I think, could well be going. But, and I've sort of said last week how I'd be disappointed in him. But then again, if CJ Stander suddenly didn't start playing well, got injured a lot, Munster would get rid of him.
100%. So it goes both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
True.
It does.
He did have a good game, Stander.
Yeah, he did.
He carried very well.
Is this his last year's contract?
Hmm.
I think so.
I'm amazed they haven't done that one earlier.
Yeah. Well, if they've only just wrapped up their skipper, then, you know, priorities.
Yeah, it's probably in the pipeline.
Yeah, this was good. And that half-back pairing, Ian Keatley a few years ago, I thought was kind of, he'd probably had his day in a green shirt. He looks great. Decision-making is outstanding. And there was a time, kind of halfway through the second half, where George Ford puts this brilliant, like a 60-yard crossfield kick that bounces. I think it was over O'Mahony's head, actually, and bounces perfectly. And then 2 minutes later, Ian Keatley does something very, very similar. Mm. Yeah, that is good. That is impressive.
What's happened to the other lad who's not Irish yet?
Clotty.
No.
He looks a proper player, doesn't he? I hate the project players. I will hold it with total disdain if he pulls on a green jersey in a couple of years' time. But he looks an amazing specimen. He's kind of he's so squat and his quads are enormous. He's rapid as well. He out-sprinted Johnny May chasing back.
No one out-sprints Johnny May.
Have a look. It looked like he did.
Johnny May mustn't have been trying. how was Manu on his first game back?
He had his moments.
He did. He had a few good runs, good moments. I guess it was the conditions, but I was surprised he was on for 80 minutes. Mm. But he was still looking good, as in his conditioning was good, because he was still making breaks, making meters, right up to the final whistle.
He was going hunting for big hits.
Yeah,
he was desperate to get back involved and have an impact. So
that's going to take some time to kind of readjust to get them all back in.
Yeah,
it just feels like every time they get someone near to fitness, they get someone out injured.
Mm. Yeah,
like Vianu.
Vianu's out. Yeah,
huge loss.
That is a big loss.
And the back row is bang average. I'm sorry to say.
Mm. It is.
I think Mapalangi can be exciting. That doesn't make you necessarily a good flanker.
Now, one of the problems from Leicester on this was the penalty count.
They 11 in that first half.
Of which 5 were Dan Cole's.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Dan Cole himself gave
away
5
penalties.
They're
one British Lion. Obviously, Ben Young's opted not to go, so he would have been. But they're one British Lion, so one of their most experienced players.
Yeah.
Just lost his head.
5 penalties, and the fifth one was a yellow card for him.
Was this at scrum time, or was it...
No.
Just
open play.
A lot of driving mauls, breakdowns, yeah.
Yeah. And then the Munster yellow card, Ryan, when he just taps the ball. So he's in a ruck. Ben Young's 5 yards from Munster try line, picks the ball up, as Ben Young's likes to do, pick it up rather than pass it straight away.
Yep.
And he just slaps it out of his hand. Here you go, yellow card, sir. Get off. Which could have cost Munster, but they did very well not to let it affect them.
Yeah.
So they top the group now?
Yeah. So Munster will qualify.
Yeah.
But the game versus Racing, I look at pool four like this. Munster are going to qualify.
Yep.
Yeah.
The game against Racing is going to determine if they get a home quarter final or not. Pretty much. And I think that Munster will probably be the only team to emerge from pool four.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Probably right, yeah.
Which is a bloody good achievement considering the team's in there.
Yeah. For Leicester, so they were, go back a month, they'd won 6 games in a row.
Yeah.
Now they've lost 4 on the bounce, and they have Saracens at home, Exeter away as their next 2 games.
Oh, and by the way, Saracens have lost 7 on the bounce.
On the bounce, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess one of them's got to end that losing streak.
Draw.
Well, both of them end it with a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Exeter lost 2 on the bounce. Oh, my God, yeah, so...
So the other game in this pool, Racing fairly comfortably beat Cast. The only real thing of note is the bizarre Cockett yellow card, Imhoff red card.
Yeah, I've not seen this. What happened?
So Cockett picks up, I can't remember who it was, it's one of the Racing backs. So goes to tackle him, but because of he's picking up from the back of a ruck, he kind of half suplexes him. So he gets him as if he's about to do an Undertaker tombstone type move. He doesn't actually do it, so the player comes down to his feet. But as he does it, Imhoff just runs in, headbutts him, and then slaps him in the face.
Idiots.
So Cockett gets a yellow card, and it's only on viewing the replay that anyone actually notices the Imhoff headbutt. Because he didn't do any damage, but there was a clear headbutt. So he will get quite a long ban for this.
What a moron.
Yeah, rightly so he'll get a long ban. It's just so stupid.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, that is stupid. I think, did you see, just changing it slightly, stupid people, Will Skelton.
Yeah.
When he gets up using that player's head.
Yeah.
Right. I think there's nothing in it, really. It's just, if the referee catches you, yes, slap on the wrists. But there is a very strong rule. Chris Ashton got caught by it. Hands to the eye area. I mean, that is hands to the eye area.
Yeah, his hands were covering his... Will Scotland's hand will cover your entire face, your entire head.
And there's absolutely no doubt... There was absolutely no sign of gouging or anything like that.
No.
It's just him being stupid. But surely the laws have to be applied.
I think they'll look into it. I don't think anything will happen.
Well, that's not on, because it is the law.
Yeah, there's a difference from the Ashton and from some other ones where it is more of a like a hook and a gouge. This wasn't. It was completely open palm. Fingers nowhere near there. But he does make contact with the
eyes. Yeah, I don't like that phrase that includes area. When you're, it's like
do you mean eyes?
The neck slash shoulder area.
Yeah.
The eye slash nose area. Come on.
Yeah, because we have other words to describe those other areas, like head, shoulder,
cheek, eyes,
cheek,
eye, forehead.
Yeah. Right,
exactly.
You can
use
actual words.
So I was thinking about this today when I was with Manu Tuilagi's return to form, and I'll just run through it. It'll take me 1 minute, but I've kind of got a sick note 15.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So Alex Corbisiero and Paul Doran Jones.
Yeah.
Rob Hawkins at hooker. I couldn't really think of a good hooker that had been spent ages out injured. Anyway, and the one area,
Dane Coles, actually.
Dane Coles, it's not bad.
He's probably a good one.
The only one I couldn't think of pretty much for any position was second row, which I wonder says more about the nature of second rows and their robustness. Mm. They are the giants on the field, but I couldn't think of many. The back row, however, tons of back rows. Stephen Ferris.
What, Jeff Pauling?
Pauling's not a bad shout, actually. Yeah.
But he didn't spend that long out, did he?
3 months out.
3 months, I'm talking like players that have had premature retirement, spent years on the sidelines.
Yeah,
we really want to revel in their misery. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Croft, who was honoured before the game today, and Tom Rees, it could be a back row. Stephen Ferris, Sam Warburton, Jamie Forrester, do you remember him? Was it Jamie Forrester?
Yeah, Jamie Forrester. Yeah.
What a talent he was for Gloucester back in
the day.
Harry Ellis at scrum half, Johnny Wilkinson at nine, Manu Tuilagi and Henry Trinder as the centres, wingers Luke Fitzgerald and Miles Benjamin, and fullback Will Addison.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent that was wasted through, or has been wasted in those incredibly talented guys' careers.
Yeah.
But Manu, hopefully, this is the touchwood.
This is
him turning the corner, and don't Leicester need it. When you actually look at their potential best starting lineup, it goes back to what we were talking about before the season. When and if they can get Ben Youngs, George Ford, Matt Tamua, Manu Tuilagi, Johnny May, Talusa Vianu, and another.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who that other player is.
What
probably
a
Adam
back
Thompson.
Line.
Yeah, it is a great back line. That's not their issue, though. It's really not. It's their pack. Yeah.
So I was reading an article, I can't remember who wrote it, probably in the Times. And they pointed out that, you know, the Premiership is savage. I mean, I'm not going to go into it again, but prior to the Exeter game, Leinster sent the team away to Treviso, and only three of the players that started that game then started in the European Cup campaign.
Yeah.
And you just don't get that equivalent in the Premiership.
Yeah, you can't do it.
And by the way, you know, you're foolish if you're sending a second team over to Treviso nowadays. So, be it on your head. So, do you see the Treviso game?
No.
It's cracking, mate. Cracking. Barbieri played very, very well. The Scarlets ultimately hammered, though.
Scarlets did play very well.
Davis has scored. Scrum off scored four tries against them in two games. Cheers.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So am I right in saying in the last 2 weeks, in 12 fixtures involving Avicii Premiership sides, there was only one win out of 12. Is that right?
Wasps
were the only team
and
this
Bath.
Week. Oh, and Bath.
Bath, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so two. So two wins out of a possible 12 for the Avicii Premiership.
Mm. Yeah.
And that, because you can't hide behind that, or they were away from home, or this is home
They've
and away.
Equal games there, yeah.
Two wins out of 12 is that's
not
rubbish.
Good. Yeah, that is not good. Bath seem to have been, like, quietly, like, very under the radar, but putting in some really good performances.
Yeah, Pool 5 is the hardest one to call. Ridiculously tight in the top three of Pool 5.
Yeah.
Two of these teams will probably qualify.
Yeah, and Scarlets are in the worst position because they have played Benetton twice now. So
yeah.
Bath and Tull.
And they've actually got the bonus point twice. Which is really important because Bath didn't get the bonus point.
Yeah.
And Benetton pushed Toulon very, very close. So, where I think Scarlets will kick themselves is that game they lost against Bath at Parky Scarlets.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that was set up for them to win, and everyone was talking about like it was just, you know, a standard walk in the park.
Oh, yeah, that was Reece Priestley going home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Bath, this was a monumental defensive effort.
Was it?
Yes. Tom Dunn topped the tackle charts.
Dunnator?
With 33 tackles.
Bloody hell.
Wow.
Charlie Yule's 22, Francois Allo 19, Jonathan Joseph 15.
Usually those front five forwards defend the fringes, which indicates the way that Toulon were playing. But yeah. Why was the condition? I didn't see this game. Were the conditions particularly bad? Why were Toulon playing just around the fringes?
Yeah, conditions weren't great. I think Toulon have. It kind of feels like that's the way they're playing at the moment.
Trying to bludgeon their way to try lines.
Yeah. But Bath, so the monumental defensive effort, but Watson and Jonathan Joseph did look good. Their kind of attacking potential. Watson scored two tries, one of which was set up wonderfully by JJ. So they seem to have gone under the radar a little bit, but they've positioned themselves quite nicely, Bath, which is interesting when you consider that their team is certainly not the best. As in, they are at times, like you've made the point, JB, just getting 15 blokes on the field.
Yes, exactly.
But the kind of coaching structure that they've put in place now, they're looking very good. They're a well-organised, well-oiled machine. So
Paul Five, what's the point situation there and the fixtures left to come?
So, Bath and Toulon are both on 13 points.
Yeah.
Scarlets are on 12 and then Benetton on 3. But Scarlets have to play Bath and Toulon. So they play
Bath at the Rec.
Yeah, but they'll play Toulon at home.
Oh, God, Bath are going through, aren't they? Bath are qualifying.
It sounds like it.
Bath are getting out their pool and one other.
So you say Bath, they have to get a 5-point win against Benetton, which they probably will do because Benetton have got nothing on the line now.
Yeah, otherwise it'd be tough.
And then they've got to get something out of a home game against Scarlets.
I'm glad that you're referring to them as they should be, and the man who's now taken it on upon himself to support them is still calling them Treviso. Is that because you're just a...
Well, because they're based in the town of Treviso.
I know, but they're Benetton now. They've dropped Treviso completely from their name. Yeah, it's Benetton Rugby now. Don't worry, I've been asking that. I've been like, is it Treviso? Is it Benetton?
Yeah. Well, they are based in the town of Treviso.
They certainly are.
So, I'm going over very, very soon. Watch his space. That's my next rugby trip.
Other than obviously Madrid.
Ah, oh, Madrid, our tier two tour.
Yes,
they've not mentioned that for a while. Talk about it, Tim.
Yeah, so we're headed. Well, in 2017, we headed off to Bucharest to see Romania v Georgia, and Romania win the tier two Six Nations competition.
Yeah,
and yeah, we had a great old time. We had well over 100 people coming along. We put on a live show. People came along to the game. And the amazing thing about these is they're so grateful to have rugby fans that really know and love their rugby in their country watching the rugby. They roll out the red carpet. And we had a good old day of it watching Six Nations rugby and then doing a live.
We have literally 9 tickets left.
Wow.
Yeah, and then after that, I mean, don't worry about that too much, because if they sell, we'll just move to a bigger venue. But yeah,
I'll check if the arena in Madrid is free.
It's going to be quite something.
There's a football stadium in Madrid, isn't there?
There is,
yeah. But we could do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll ask Ronaldo if he doesn't mind. So yeah, we're going to Madrid. They will love to see us there. It's Spain versus Germany is the game that we're going to go and watch on the Sunday. That will be after a live podcast. And after that, Wales v Italy will be on. But on the Saturday, we're going to spend the day watching all the Six Nations matches in a authentic Italian bar in Madrid called, what is it?
O'Neill's.
So find out the information on our Facebook page. There's tickets available for the live show. Flights out to Madrid are dirt cheap. And come join us and tons of other egg chasers as we let the boys play.
Absolutely. It'll be good fun.
My dad's threatening to come as well.
Is he?
Ooh.
How would you feel about your dad coming?
Oh, my dad wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
No, but if your dad said he was coming, what?
It'd be quite good fun.
I would recommend it to anyone.
If my dad came, it would cost me a lot less in beer.
Oh, you make a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot less.
Yeah.
And you could do useful things like man the tag stall.
Yes.
Man, the tights.
Right. So
the group that we've not really spoke about yet.
Yes.
Pool 2.
Oh, yes.
The big one.
Which one's this?
Oh, that
so,
one.
So Clermont are going to get a home quarter final.
Yep.
Done. So it's all about the battle for second now.
Yeah, which is actually a battle for second. So Saracens having lost twice and Ospreys having won twice.
Oh my God.
Means that Ospreys are ahead of Saracens in the table as things stand. So Clermont on 18 points, won four from four. Ospreys on 13, won two from four, but picked up five bonus points. Mm. And Saracens won two from four and only picked up three bonus points.
Mm. Oh my word. So imagine if Ospreys qualified from this pool.
That would be astonishing.
Bath, you would have got unbelievable odds on Ospreys and Bath,
yeah,
making the quarterfinals.
So
yeah,
okay. So here's my little bit of insider info. If it is that, it's probably widely known. In fact, it's probably not insider info at all. There is no coach at Northampton. That isn't the insider info. There is more. this week's training on Friday was taken by one Paul Gustard.
Interesting,
isn't it?
That is interesting.
He's going nowhere. He's helping out, clearly.
I think it's weird they're helping out. I didn't realise the rugby fraternity was so close and comfortable with people just showing up and helping out.
Mm.
Well, clearly it is.
I mean, I'm sure he's getting remunerated for his consultancy role.
Yeah, I just don't even think it's that. It's just something a little bit weird about parachuting in a national coach.
Well,
how would the other clubs feel about it?
Yeah, it's a little bit different in Ireland because the IRFU is so, you know, players are contracted with the IRFU, but I know that Munster have had Andy Farrell working on their defence in the last few weeks whilst they wait for this South African
guy. Let me guess, did he talk about line speed?
I think he might have mentioned line speed, yeah.
Winning the collision, is that important in defence?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we need to know?
Just more line speed.
More line, yeah.
Yeah.
If I look at any defence, I can pretty much cure it instantly with more line speed and a collision. that'll be 400k a year, please.
And you got to get some, bring some wolves to training.
Absolutely.
Well.
Oh, yeah, that's what
the easy defence coach, high-level defence coach, right, with lads that know how to defend and how to hit. Simply the easiest job on earth. Money for old rope.
How many minutes roughly has this podcast been going now, JB?
46 minutes.
46 minutes. Well, however long, 46, 50 minutes. Can I just commend you? We haven't yet mentioned Sail Sharks. And yet on the midweek Malinder podcast, there was extensive Sail Sharks chat.
I don't know where that came from.
Everything just got linked back to Sail somehow.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Had you just done a Rugby Dungeon interview with a Sail Sharks player?
I had.
It was fresh on your mind.
Tom Curry.
There you go.
The amazing Tom Curry.
Yeah.
Him and Marcus. I do struggle to believe that these guys are only 19, but they are somehow.
Frightening, isn't
might
it?
Not even be 19 yet. Marcus Smith isn't.
Did you see the jacket that he was wearing the other week? A picture on Twitter.
No, I don't think
so. It just looked like it was just a picture of him after the Quins game when they lost to Ulster at home in the snow. And the jacket he had on afterwards, it was hilarious. It was
his mum dress him?
it looked like his mum had bought him an outfit. Thinking, he'll fit that in a year's time. Like by the time he gets to upper sixth, he'll fit that very ill-fitting jacket.
I wonder what sort of contract he's on, right? Because start of the season, he wasn't the starting fly half; he was third choice fly half.
Yeah,
two lads go down. Turns out he's a genuinely great fly half.
Yeah.
No matter what happens now, he's already sort of there. I mean, he's 18 and he went round. Who was the Ulster scrum off?
Cooney.
Yeah, a seasoned professional. Mm. He's 18. Yeah, I'll step around him. Done.
I wouldn't mind betting he's on just a basic academy contract, something like 18 grand a year.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
But he might be getting bonuses for appearances, bonuses for wins.
So when he goes to England squad, right, probably the attendance fees to training are more than doubling his salary.
Yeah, but I mean, what's he got to buy? He's just got to nip down to the shop for some sweets and
he got
buy a video game.
Oh, God, imagine.
Buy Call of Duty when it comes out.
Yeah, FIFA 18.
I wonder if that's a real headache for, like, Quins and every club. If you've got a young guy playing in your team, particularly if it's like a Tom or Ben Curry. Oh, no, they played when they were 18, didn't they? Not when they were 17.
Yeah.
Marcus Smith, did he play 17?
I'm not sure, isn't there rules against it?
Yeah, you've got to get special dispensation.
Yeah.
No, genuinely, there was, in the Anglo-Welsh Cup, the man of the match award was a bottle of champagne.
That's where I'm going with this.
Basically said, if there was several players that if they'd have won it, we can't give them, we'll have to give the bottle to someone else, but congratulate the player on winning man of the match, because they're under 18.
You're too young to be man of the match.
Look, if you've got a special dispensation, right, to play rugby, you should have a special dispensation under the law to drink beer.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. Yeah,
if you're good enough to face up against some of these giant men.
Yeah. If you're good enough to be putting your body on the line playing professional rugby.
Yeah, you can put your liver on the line as well.
You can have a pint.
But like, you can imagine a right old mess, can't you, with like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of like a selfie between Vissa and Robshaw, and then in the background there's an absolutely wasted Marcus Smith, or you know, not even wasted, he's got a pint in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, uproar from the rugby journalists.
It's mad, isn't it? Because Marcus Smith will probably be genuinely excited about Christmas next week. Like he'll be really, really excited.
He's probably getting an Xbox.
Yeah, he'll be struggling to get to sleep the night before because he'll be so excited.
Yeah.
It's unreal. These guys, the talent they've got at this age.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
And what's frightening is you're getting... So it used to be the case that, say, some of these second rows, like the Exeter Chiefs, lock Sam Skinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
You used to get 22-year-old locks who were sort of like gangly, and then they'd fill out by the time they're 26.
Yeah.
Now they're coming 21, 22, fully formed giant, like developed men.
Well, we were in the airport with Hartbury College. They were on the tables next
National
to us.
League One, yeah.
Yep. Enormous men. Just enormous.
Some big boys there.
Like, there is no filling out needed here. They are just, they are ready to go semi-pro athletes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. One thing I didn't mention on Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah.
After they played at the Aviva Stadium, they went on a team night out.
Yeah.
They were all wearing, I think forwards had one type of suit, backs had another type of suit.
They
sort of split. I don't know whether it's forwards, backs, but they split themselves into two groups. One group had a very fetching blue festive suit. It was like all Christmas print, but in a proper suit cut.
Yeah.
And the other guys had a red one. So it was a blue and a red team. Now, I'm all for this, and I've learnt that what Rob Baxter does is he breaks the season up into little, cycles, say six or 10-week cycles, whatever it is, and sets a target for a number of points. And if they achieve that number of points, they get to choose their reward.
Ah, clever.
And they got their target of points for the last period, and they chose their reward, a night out after the Leinster game in Dublin.
Good.
Now, which is fine, and I'm all for that, and let the boys play and crack on. But what's the look? How do you feel about the look? So much sharing on social media of a massive knees up after you've lost.
You know, I don't mind.
They could have kept it private.
They could have, but why should they? Because it is... It's what they do. It's their process. In the same way that I don't think Saracens would. I mean, Saracens actually, because they win, people forgive them a lot of things. If there were videos emerging of, for instance, Billy Vunipola playing for, you know, Sale and being absolutely hammered just prior to the Lions, that would be a disaster. You know, and all, you know, the little silly hats that they wear and like the dungarees and so on and so forth. But actually, that's why they're such a good team, and that's part of their process going forward. So, in a conventional sense, what you're saying makes, you know, is fine. But I think what Exeter do with their social media is completely above board because of who they are.
Oh no! I say it's above board. It's just that I'm kind of all for the night out and all the rest of it. But this need to Instagram it and share it, I don't know.
So, do you have you seen Rob Baxter divides it up into sections?
I believe this is the case.
Yeah, it sounds likely, because he also divides them up into groups for video analysis. They analyse each other's videos. And they've also, I think, in pre-season, they divide up the squad into fours, maybe? And they all kind of keep track of their performance that way. And it's competition for, I think, something like beers at the end of the session. Something like that.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. I also saw it was Slade and Noel doing a very cold recovery session, dipping into a lake this morning.
Ooh.
which didn't look
where?
Like, didn't look like fun. I don't know. I assume it'll still be in Dublin, but
yeah. Ooh, no, thank you. Talking about teams that give out rewards, fun sort of rewards. Do you know what they did on the last Monday that Jim Mallander was there, or the Monday before?
Hmm.
Is it Saints?
Secret Santa?
Close.
Don't know.
Trained Dorian West was Santa.
Trained in fancy dress.
Yeah, I like this. I've seen quite a few clubs have started doing this. Bath have done it recently. Quins have done it recently.
Yeah, I saw Quins doing it with the neon. Yeah, like the 80s.
Yeah.
The 80s gear
did,
in the gym.
You're right, yeah.
They did a throwback one recently where they were in like old school other sports outfits.
That's pretty cool.
They had like a 1970s athlete.
A gym session, not out on the pitch session, I take it.
Oh, I don't know. I assumed it was on the pitch.
Oh, that would be awesome, but I bet it was the gym session.
Yeah.
A weight session.
Quins was. Scarlets have done it recently as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it seems to be like quite a big thing these days.
Right, so whatever your team is, at Rugby Podcast, tweet us or whatever, just get in touch and let us know when your club has done one of these little novelty events, because yeah, we definitely want to keep tabs on this sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone got any more thoughts about Northampton's coaching situation before we go forward? Because you weren't available to discuss this, were you, Tim?
No, my thought is it was inevitable, it had to happen, and as you pointed out, kind of just Jim Mallander going just seems odd to me. Dorian West staying.
Yeah,
odder still.
It's really, it seems odd. So I can't imagine that the new regime.
So Dorian West allegedly is going to go to Newcastle at the end of the season.
But why? They've got forwards coaches that are doing a good job.
They are getting a lot of bang for their buck in that Newcastle pack.
Yeah.
So
that's the first one.
And what's the fella? John Wells and Dean Richards you've got there.
Yep.
Yep.
You mentioned something very interesting about Northampton prior to the pod. Are you allowed to say that on air?
What's that?
About the Saints coaching situation or the offer that was made?
No.
No. All right. We'll move on from that.
So one person that keeps getting linked with the job named very heavily, he's out in Texas.
Yeah.
In America is Mike Ford. I'm not sure about this. Oh, whoa. Sorry, that was Nigel Owens again trying to interrupt. I'm not sure about this whole Mike Ford rumour, and I wouldn't like that move.
It feels wrong from every single angle that I can possibly think about it.
Yeah, there's not a single positive that I can think of.
There's no.
I mean, I can
well, George that, Ford might end up there yeah, at George some Ford point. Is the only positive.
Mike Ford is a really good rugby coach. He's just not particularly well-liked in rugby circles, to put it mildly.
Hmm.
And the thought of him falling into another English job seems a little bit far-fetched, but it could happen. I think it's a testament to what a good rugby coach he is that he's still considered.
His name keeps going into
yeah,
the frame.
He's got a pretty impressive pedigree and a great CV.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever doubts like his rugby abilities, that's for sure. But I just wonder if the personalities are compatible.
They need to get a really...
How is Gary Gold going to coach USA compatible with Mike Ford coaching their biggest club team, by the way? I mean, is this the irony of all ironies? Because I assumed that Mike Ford would be going there in order to do some coaching for USA Rugby. Having Gary Gold there, delicious.
Ooh, that is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think Mike Ford to Northampton works.
The one that I would love to see, but I don't think it will happen, is Ali Hefa getting the main man job. He has been made head coach at Exeter Chiefs,
but he is almost the main man there, isn't he? You'd have to be director of rugby.
He's the head coach, so yeah, it would be a step up to be director of rugby. But that's basically whatever man comes in. That's what Northampton need is a total refresh of the whole culture.
So Dorian West being promoted to director of rugby would be quite something, wouldn't it?
It would be an interesting move.
Although, is the attack coach that'll do it, allegedly?
Well, it's the attack coach who's doing it now.
Mm. Oh, Alan Dickens.
yeah, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, well, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Quite. Exactly. So, it's... I'd love someone like Ali Heifer to get it. I know Exeter cheat. I think Ali Heifer knows what side his bread's buttered on, and he will want to hang around because there's a potential England job after 2019 with Rob Baxter.
Yeah, that's an interesting
point. Not only that, I do think that Exeter haven't finished with this group yet.
Yeah, and Rob Hunter, yeah. It's important to remember as well, part of that Exeter coaching setup is Rob Hunter, Northampton State's former player, Rob Hunter.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
So that would be another great shout. But yeah.
Didn't Heifer play at Northampton?
Did he?
Ali Heifer did play at Northampton, you're right.
Yeah.
I know he was like Bedford for a long time.
No, he definitely did. Definitely did.
Yeah.
Mm. Wayne Smith returning.
Yeah, Ali Heifer played at Northampton from
1997
to 2002.
Well, there you go.
Interesting.
Oh, that's like 15 years.
Sorry, 97 to 2002.
Oh, 5 years.
5 years.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, those would be good shouts. Other than that, I haven't got a clue. I'd like them not to go for a Kiwi, but that might be it, or a Safa, but that might be inevitable.
Yeah.
I can't think of the outstanding South African guy available. The Kiwi would be Wayne Smith.
European sides keep finding these South African guys I've never heard of that come and do incredible jobs, like the latest one, Johan van Graan. I know he was at Blue Bulls, who won 3 Super Rugby titles, but there you go.
Excellent.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's do next week's picks then.
Yeah, well, there's a clear game of the week for next week, isn't there?
I've not looked at the fixtures yet.
I'll tell you, surely Friday, Worcester versus London Irish.
Ooh, yes. And, well, Sunday's game will be interesting, Leicester Saracens.
Oh, yeah, Christmas Eve game. Well, so the Pro 14 fixtures, then I'll just run through these, Phil. You get the Premiership ones all ready to go. The Saturday, the 23rd of December, it's a lot of derby matches over the next couple of weekends. So you have got, on the 23rd, JB's beloved Benetton playing Zebre.
Oh, there we go, win Benetton.
2 p.m. kickoff.
I'll be watching that one.
10 past 5, Edinburgh versus Glasgow. Tasty.
That'll be interesting.
Which has got a return fixture the following week.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Wow.
Hang on. Oh, no, it's fine.
And 7:35 kickoff on Saturday, Connacht host Phil's beloved Ulster.
Big win for Ulster.
And then there's 3 games on Boxing Day. The Dragons, the resurgent Dragons against Les Bleus.
Do you read that message that we received regarding the Dragons linked with 11 different players?
Oh, no. That sounds like a good point to just dust that off, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the Ross Moriarty thing continues. Obviously, he's signed, not on a national dual registered contract thing, whatever that is, NDR. And because he's not on that, obviously, there's some money there. And the rumour is they're looking at bringing back players such as Charteris, Hibbard, Falatau, who we discussed last week. But serious money, and there's 11 names which have been bandied about to return to Wales.
Mm.
So what's your space?
Well, so George North will be the 4th one, so then there's 7 more.
Yeah.
And you don't have them to hand.
I will get them by next week.
We got a... I'm not going to use your name in case you didn't want it to be used, but thank you very much. You know who you are, at Rugby Podcast. The rumour mill in Leinster is Sean Cronin off to Bristol.
Mm, I can see that.
That did get mentioned this weekend.
Yep, good for Cronin, not so good for Bristol. I mean, that's not a knock on Sean Cronin by any stretch. A fantastic player.
You're a big Cronin fan.
I'm a huge Cronin fan. I just think Bristol are going to, squander all their money again. and end up they'll stay up and then they'll get relegated.
They'll go up and then they'll just yo-yo.
Yeah, because they can't just buy these players in and hope it's going to work. It won't.
Yeah.
How about this for a bit of Boxing Day viewing? Munster versus Leinster.
Well, if they put out their full teams, that will be the game of the week across both teams. But the question is, will they do that? And if they don't, it's going to be like it always is.
And rounding it off, Scarlets v Ospreys.
Hmm. Which
now, to be fair, whereas the Irish let their fans down, the Welsh take these derbies very seriously, so they will be good.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game as well, because Ospreys are resurgent in the Champions Cup, albeit against the dreadful Northampton.
Yep.
And Scarlets haven't been as great in the Champions Cup.
Well, they've been unlucky in a way. I mean, they're just not a mature enough outfit to beat Toulon. They had a nightmare against Bath, but then they've had two bonus point wins against the grittiest team in Europe.
As much as you love Benetton, I'm not sure we can actually learn that much about Scarlets
before. You'd be surprised.
Do you know what? I feel like we're ever so slightly flagging. I feel like we need another little hit of motivation
before
we get into the games.
Oh, right, so let's find a... what would I do if I really needed to get motivated? Where would I look? Oh, hang on. Found it.
In life, right? Find the people who are doing things well and strive to be like them. Strive to hit their standards.
It's a full-on breakdown, isn't it?
I watched him in rugby train on Monday and walked away wanting to be a better person. Find that person who makes you want to be better. Find out what they're doing. Copy them. Emulate them. Plagiarise them. Whatever it takes. Find an inspiration and hunt them down.
It's awesome, isn't it? It's genuinely awesome.
Right, yeah. I feel ready and raring to go.
Yes,
now.
Come on, let's do this.
Find your inspiration and then hunt them down.
On to the Aviva Premiership. Avicii Premiership. Shall we start back to front?
Go back to front.
Let's go back to front. So, Sunday, Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock, Leicester host Saracens. Both desperate to find a win.
Yeah, Leicester with 4 defeats, Saracens with 7 in a row.
Bounce. Now, both have also had particularly tough games as well, particularly brutal games in Europe. I find this one really difficult to call.
I think Saracens are going to go there and win.
I think you're right.
I think Saracens are going to go there and batter them.
I'm not sure. What will be good to see is more of that Leicester backline.
Yep.
I want to see more of Tamua. And
it's not going to be enough. Just adding more talent isn't going to be enough for Leicester.
All they need is talent and time for them to bed in together.
Exactly.
Which they've not got.
Saracens are going to show up and they are going to humiliate them. And I believe they're going to humiliate them by about 15 points at Welford Road.
By all accounts, Owen Farrell has been incredible this last week in training. He stepped up as captain, and as we mentioned, Saracens looked really good for a while
when
he came away in Clermont.
When's the last time that Owen Farrell got criticised? I mean, that match he had last Monday. That's the first time in ages that he's had any flack. So I'm not surprised that there's been some sort of reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, they have reacted. Even though they didn't get the win against Clermont, they reacted in the right way. And the manner of their performance was so much better than Monday.
Yeah, and Saracens' next two games are Leicester away and... Oh, sorry, Leicester away, Worcester at home, but then Wasps away as well.
They'll win all three of them.
Yeah, so...
Wasps could be difficult, actually. They are finding some good form now.
Yeah, it was a great win for Wasps. This week.
So I think Saracens will sneak it at Welford Road.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Then the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. So we've got Newcastle Harlequins.
I can't tell you who's going to win.
The Christmas Eve game, by the way, is live on BT Sport. Make sure you give it a watch.
Mm. Are you working that one?
I am working that one.
Yep. Which one is it? Sale Bath?
No.
The Saturday game. I think it's Northampton Exeter.
What? It's a terrible choice.
Well, it's Gloucester would be the better one, actually. So, Newcastle Harlequins, I'm saying Newcastle by 7 points.
Yeah, don't know.
Northampton Exeter? Exeter by 10 points.
Yeah.
At least.
Sale Bath?
Sale by 7, I think.
Yeah, I think Sale will win at home.
I don't know. I'm liking Bath. Although Sale have just rested most of their players against Cardiff, and Bath have had another particularly brutal fixture against Toulon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sale.
Sale look in good shape as well. Not many injuries. They'll be all right.
And then Wasps, Gloucester.
Wasps.
Give me Wasps.
That Nizam Carr is a proper find.
Yeah.
Never heard of him before he came to the Avicii.
He had quite a good game against the Saxons.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
yes.
He's not a bad player.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, then, boys. Hold your horses, because have we not got a game of the week?
We have got a game
of the
week.
We have got a game of the week.
Wrong.
There we go. With Leo Vegas, you can win We love the guys at Leo Vegas. They've got a brilliant mobile app. Their website's fantastic as well, leovegas.com. There's a whole array of different rugby bets, and they love their rugby, so it's the place to go. Also other sports as well, for that matter. There's, for example, live cash in, cash out bets. There's the widest range of bets you can find for your rugby to make your match days even more fun as you bet responsibly. When the fun stops, stop.
Yeah.
But our Leo Vegas game of the week is Worcester Warriors against London Irish.
Wow.
Now, these currently occupy 11th and 12th place.
I can't see
in the table. Worcester, though, have been a little bit resurgent.
Yeah, I can't see it's been anything else other than a big Worcester win.
Do you think a big win?
I think a big win, yeah.
So the game will be... So if it was a very open game in great conditions, then I could see a big Worcester win. Now, it won't be great conditions, and it will be a real scrap.
Well, where are they? Irish or...?
No, at Six Ways.
Right, so at Six Ways, so it's a plastic pitch there.
Plastic pitch.
You don't need to worry about the... about any potential wetness.
Yeah.
If it was a wide open game, I think actually that suits London Irish pretty well. I mean, they've got some really nice attacking pieces. I just don't see any way that Irish can win this.
I don't either, really. But I don't think it'll be open. I don't think it'll be particularly open. Look at the is it Sale Worcester a few weeks ago that we thought was going to be. Well, it should have been on paper about 50 points each, but it was a really low-scoring game because it kind of got dragged down to that level.
First game Sale have won over a year away from home.
Wow.
So, yeah, they really should have done better than what they did. Having said that, I'm sure that another win for Worcester, that's going to make a big difference in the table, is it not? Where could they go to?
They'd stay in 11th place.
No, would they?
But they depending on what happens with Northampton, but they could be 3 points behind Northampton.
I wonder if Northampton get dragged into all this.
Possibly. Possibly.
Delicious.
Yeah, there is a bit of a gap. Northampton, so Quins and Newcastle on 24 points, Sale on 23, Northampton on 22. Then you drop 8 points to Worcester on 14, and then another 6 to London Irish on 8.
This is the season for London Irish, isn't it? It seems crazy saying that with, you know, we're only at the halfway stage, but
it really is a 6-pointer, 10-pointer, whatever you want.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it.
What would the gap if Worcester won? Let's say 4 points to 0 points, for example. What
it would then be a 10-point gap.
You're not
still only still only 3 wins. Two or three wins, yeah, but
I mean, the Premiership is actually, I mean, this year it feels like it's easier to pick up wins. I could see London Irish being able to beat Harlequins. I could see them being able to beat a Newcastle. I can see them even being able to run someone like Sale close. So it feels like they're a long way away, but actually, they're probably not. It's not probably not as harsh as previous seasons.
No.
Hmm. They do miss having a real cool head at 10.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They've got a very, very good attacking 10, but not a game-managing 10.
And well, Tommy Bell's been playing there. He's been lining up there for the last couple of games. So you've kind of been using him and James Marshall at kind of interchangeable 10 and 15. And Tommy Bell's a great kicker, but he's not a brilliant... He's not a game manager.
Well, like they say, if you've got two 10s, you haven't got any.
I think they're closer to not having any just generally.
Yeah,
yeah. Neither well, really... That isn't true, because I can have two good 10s.
Because, yeah, Tommy Bell has played more rugby outside backs, 15. James Marshall played most of his rugby for the Hurricanes as a winger or fullback. Yeah. So.
And Theo Brophy-Clews was their man a couple of years. What year?
You don't see it? And Tonks?
Tonks have gone to Edinburgh.
Oh.
But Theo Brophy-Clews not really kicked on. He's a young guy, so he will have a future. But
yeah.
I can't see for that game management reason. I cannot see London Irish. They don't seem able to connect. Actually, pretty relatively gnarly competitive forward pack with guys like Alex Lewington. They can't seem to sort of connect the two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And their centres, you know, when Tikaratuma and Mol Crone. It's just
biggest disappointment so far for me has been Joe Cocconasinga in the Premiership.
Yeah, we've not really seen much of him.
I don't know if he's been injured or they don't fancy him or what. But I thought this guy was going to rock up, score 65 tries.
Is that why you select? That's why you picked him up for your fantasy draft team.
Exactly what happened. I feel let down.
He's only just come back fit. He did tear up trees in the Championship, but a very different challenge.
Yeah.
So
you got to get him the ball, and you got to get him the ball with a bit of time and space, and that's not what they're able to do. Really.
There is one other thing to consider, really, is with Worcester, yes, they're a bit resurgent, and I think they've got the better team.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much it plays on the players' minds that I think there's a lot of them who are going to have their contracts expiring at the end of the year. I'm not sure if Worcester are in a situation to redo all the contracts because they're trying to sell the club. I wonder if that does take its toll on the team and with the director of rugby leaving as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the director of rugby issue is not the same, but I would suggest the same thing's happening at London Irish. There'll be guys wondering where their future may lay. Older guys that probably won't be championship, won't be kept if they're in the Championship, and younger guys all thinking, do I need to jump ship now?
Yeah, Frank's
guys got, like Alex Lewington.
Yeah. Well, Frank's will be the other one. He doesn't want to go again to the Championship.
No.
No.
I can't see past the Worcester win, unfortunately. As much as I really want London Irish to win this, got a soft spot for him, but I can't see it.
All right, so scores? Well, points differences, I should say.
Worcester by 11.
I think it'd be tighter than that, but Worcester by 6 points.
Worcester by 15.
Mm.
There you go. LeoVegas.com, get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You boys, I'm going to go and tuck you in. You look like you're absolutely hanging. You need to make your alarm. Fact, can we convert that to an MP3 and make Will Greenwood an alarm download?
In life, right? Find the people that are doing things well.
You don't really see how funny it is until you actually watch the video.
I watched England rugby train on Monday and walked away wanting to be a better person.
He's really sincere, he means it.
He does not mean it. It's the least sincere video I've ever watched. That's why it's brilliant.
Emulate them, plagiarise them, whatever it takes. Find an inspiration and hunt them down.
Wow.
That is exactly what I'm going to do right now.
Likewise. Boys, it's been a pleasure.
Let the boys play. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Get that last minute Christmas present. Get yourself booked up and onto our Tier 2 tour. And we will have another episode coming. So hit subscribe in your channel and we'll bring it to you very soon.
On Christmas Eve?
No. Because I'm working and then I want to get back and put the kids to bed and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and then when they're in bed, you can come over. And we'll have a few sherries and do the podcast.
No, I'm not doing it.
No.
I'll happily record one another day. We'll do that. Anyway.
Yeah, no one's going to listen to it. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, LTBP.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.